Today, I'll be talking about Joseph and Potiphar. Background: Joseph's brothers sold Joseph to slave traders. You will recall that they were jealous of Joseph because Jacob, the father, loved Joseph more than the other brothers. And also, Joseph said quite disrespectful things to their brothers, that they, one day their brothers would bow down to them and pay obeisance to him. So they hated Joseph and wanted to kill him and threw him into the pit and later on sold him to the Ishmaelite slave traders who brought Joseph to Egypt and sold him to Captain Potiphar in Egypt. So if you look at the map on the screen, you see number one here, Hebron, where Jacob and the family lived. One day, Jacob told Joseph to go to look for his brothers who were in pasturing the flock somewhere up north in Shechem. So Joseph went from Hebron all the way to Shechem, and there he was told that they are Dothan. So he went further up to Dothan. So as you know, that there is no public bus or modern transport, so Joseph probably walked on foot all the way to Dothan, and it would be a few days' walk, probably about, rough estimate, 100 kilometers. So that would be from Changi, walk to Tuas, and Tuas, walk back to Changi, and a bit further. And at Dothan, he was captured, so-called captured, by his brothers, and threw into a pit and sold to Ishmaelite slave traders. And you see here, the blue line up from Gilead, they are the Ishmaelites who came and then bought Joseph as a slave and then went all the way down to Egypt. Yeah, so a long journey for Joseph. Yeah, so that was the journey of Joseph. He ended up not only looking for his brothers, but found himself in Egypt. But God blessed Joseph. Let me read to you scripture, Genesis 39, starting at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So in Egypt, Joseph was sold to his master, Captain Potiphar, captain of Pharaoh's guards. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord blessed Joseph's work as a slave. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So meaning that Joseph was successful in whatever work he did for his master. And Captain Potiphar noticed this, that Joseph was successful in whatever he did, and that Joseph's God was with him. And Joseph found grace, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight, and he served him. Joseph served Captain Potiphar, and he made him overseer over his house, meaning Captain Potiphar made Joseph to be in charge of all his house. In those days, captain of Pharaoh's guards would have a big house with many activities going on in the house, many servants, many workers. And so Joseph was made in charge of all these servants and workers and directed them in as to what they have to do in the operations in the house. And everything, and all that he had, he put into his hands. So in other words, all the operations in the house, Captain Potiphar put it to Joseph to be in charge. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So everything in the house was in proper order because Joseph was in charge and God blessed Joseph's work. And of course, the Captain Potiphar's household was very well managed because God blessed Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So everything he did was successful in the house and also in the field where there is agricultural work. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So Captain Potiphar left everything in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. He doesn't know what operations is going on because he has so much confidence and trust in Joseph that he left everything to Joseph. So the only thing he knew about his household was the bread he ate. Joseph was a good person and very well liked. So let me read on about this part of scripture that Potiphar's wife started noticing Joseph. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand." So Joseph's wife asked Joseph to lie with her because she was attracted to Joseph, but he refused. And he said to Potiphar's wife that his master left everything in the house with him. And there's no one greater in his house than I. So let me read on to verse 9. "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So he noticed, Joseph said, you know, Captain Potiphar, his master have left everything to him. He has become very senior, has become chief over the whole house. Nobody is greater than him, than his master, Captain Potiphar. And he has only kept his wife for himself. Everything else was under his management and control. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So what came to Joseph's mind is that, how can he lie with his master's wife? This is a great wickedness and it's a sin against God. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So nobody was in the house. Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph to lie with her. She said no. He said no and ran out. And Potiphar's wife caught hold of Joseph's garment. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he had brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." So here she is trying to frame Joseph, that it was Joseph who came in to want to take advantage of her. And she cried out. "And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." So she said, "Oh, she heard me screaming, and therefore she ran off and left his garment behind. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home." So now she is going to prepare herself to accuse Joseph before his husband, Captain Potiphar. "And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. So told Captain Potiphar that your servant that you bought came into my room to take advantage of me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. So Captain Potiphar was very angry for what the wife told him. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. There he was, there in the prison. So there you go. Very interestingly, at this point in Joseph's life, from being the overall in charge of Captain Potiphar's house, he's now thrown into prison because on a fake charge that he took advantage of Captain Potiphar's wife. So let us watch the video. And again, I would like to caution everyone that video is movie maker's design and portrayal. So the speeches are not in the Bible. They are all made up by movie makers. So be careful when you listen to the speeches of the different characters and also the events that took place. They are not entirely accurate. But by and large, the big story is there. So I would like you to notice how Joseph became in charge. And after that, there was false accusation and he was thrown into jail. Of course, I'm sorry, the video will stop at the part where Joseph said to Potiphar's wife that it is a wicked thing that he would have done if he laid with Mrs. Potiphar, and it would be a sin against God, and that he will not do. Okay, the video will stop there. Okay, let us watch.
Jacob did not know, however, was that Joseph was not dead. The Ishmaelites had taken him down into Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard, to be a slave in his house. God, however, continued to watch over Joseph, as we learn from Genesis 39:2.
The Lord was with Joseph, and his masters saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he made him overseer of his house, and put him in charge of all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing was upon all that he had in house and field. Now Joseph was handsome and good-looking, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?"
So you see the video, how Joseph was sold to Captain Potiphar, and he rose up very high in Captain Potiphar's household, became in charge of the whole house, and subsequently fell from grace because he was falsely accused of taking advantage of the wife. So a few comments here. God was with Joseph and blessed him when he first joined Captain Potiphar's household. Why? Because Joseph was obedient and faithful to God. He was very close to God, and he was obedient in in everything that God wanted him to do, and he was faithful to God. How did God bless Joseph? God gave Joseph success in everything he did. Yeah? His position as a slave changed. So from a menial slave, when he first joined Captain Potiphar's household, he became attendant to Potiphar, and then subsequently became overseer of Potiphar's house. He was in charge of everybody, all the servants and all the other slaves and all the workers in the house. How do we know Joseph was obedient and faithful to God? Because of his answer to Potiphar's wife for not laying with her. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was very conscious of God's law, sin and actions which would bring judgment. He did that which pleased God and turned away from acts which displeased God. Therefore, God was pleased with Joseph and blessed him. Again, I would like to emphasize what he said in scripture, recorded for us. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Very uncommon to hear that being said. Yeah, and I will dwell more on this as I go along. Spiritual lessons. God can also bless us in our station in life, rich or poor. You notice that God blessed Joseph as a slave. He was not rich. He was not well-to-do or middle class. In fact, he was the lowest class. He was a slave. And God blessed him. And because God blessed him, he rose to be an attendant to Potiphar. He attended to Potiphar and subsequently became chief of the staff in the household. So God can also bless us in whatever station in life, whether we are rich or whether we are poor. All we have to do is important, is that we have to be obedient and faithful. That would mean refrain from sinning, be conscious that sinning against God will bring adverse consequences in our lives. We are more fearful of adverse reactions from bosses and authorities for wrongful acts. That's more common. The reaction of Joseph that he feared laying with Potiphar's wife is a sin against God is an uncommon reaction. Many a times for us, if we contemplate on doing the wrong thing, we think our bosses or the authorities will get hold of us and punish us for our wrongful acts. If we told a lie at work, our bosses get to know and will reprimand us for our lie, that we have done the work and actually we have not done the work for the company. Yeah, and then we will suffer the consequences of a cut in our bonus and so on and so forth. Or we have done some illegal act. And the first thought is, will we be caught by the authorities and then suffer the consequences of a big fine or a jail sentence? That is always more common when we thought of doing wrongful things. But not Joseph. Yeah? He never thought, oh, what if I lie with Mrs. Potiphar? What if Captain Potiphar finds out? He would execute me. At worst, I'll be in jail. That was not his thought. Yeah? His thought was, God would have suffered the knowledge that Joseph, I have done such wickedness. He feared God. He feared insulting God and bringing disrepute to God. So that is something very uncommon about Joseph, that his relationship and his fellowship with God is so close that whatever he does, he thinks of God, that he will not bring this insult or this affront to God for his sin of laying with Potiphar's wife. So in the same way, we should put God first in our lives, rather than, we should please God rather than men. So we all know this verse in the Bible. Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Yes, God says this is a wicked thing if you take over, harbor another person's wife. It's a sin. And so that comes to mind first. You know, we should not commit adultery because that is a sin and God will deal with us. And so Potiphar committed Joseph to prison. So let us look again in scripture, chapter 39, 21 to 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So even the prison in charge was trustworthy of Joseph, that he gave Joseph in all the control and all the management of the prisoners, that whatever the prisoners did was Joseph's instruction for them to do. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So again, the keeper of the hand was like Potiphar, you know. He left everything to Joseph because Joseph did everything well, and everything Joseph did was successful, that the head of the prison need not worry about the management of the prison and the prisoners. Joseph was responsible, he has integrity, and he managed every operation and prisoners well in the prison. So even in prison, Joseph was successful. Yeah, because God blessed Joseph. So one would expect Joseph's fortune to flourish in Potiphar's care. So we read earlier on that from a menial slave, Joseph became attendant to Potiphar and then became chief of staff in the Captain Potiphar's household. You expect him to rise, you know, but there was not so. Yeah. He was framed by Captain Potiphar's wife and then sent to prison. Very unusual. Yeah. But it was another step in God's plan to bring greatness to Joseph and, more importantly, to save his family, Jacob and the sons, from famine in Canaan. And after being thrown into jail, Joseph was still successful. Yeah? God blessed him. Therefore, his work was successful. And why did God bless him? Because he refused to sin against God. He was obedient and faithful to God always. Spiritual lessons. We may go through difficulties in life, but if God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Joseph went through much difficulties, thrown into a pit by his brothers. You see this picture here, brothers throwing him into a pit and initially wanted to kill him. And then subsequently, the brothers here sold him to slave traders. And then subsequently ended up as a slave in Captain Potiphar's house. And of course, we expect his career trajectory to go up, but it was not to be. He was framed by Potiphar and thrown into jail, thrown into prison for a crime which he was innocent. Yet God was with him every moment. In fact, the difficulties were God planned and executed. At the end, Joseph was made prime minister of Egypt and saved his family from famine in Canaan. Okay, interesting point that I now raise, that difficulties were raised by God. We notice God planned and executed difficulties in the lives of many of the patriarchs, like Abraham. When God told him in Haran that there is a promised land for him, he was not just transported at the wink of an eye. Yeah, he had to go through months of journey on foot through the wilderness. Those days, there were no highways, no modern travel. It is was on foot. You bring your livestock on foot, your family, your servants, all on foot. And it was months on foot. Under the hot sun and at night in the cold night wind. And you can only live in tents. There are no hotels or guest houses or inns journeying for all those months. And then after he reached Canaan, promised land, famine came. Flee from famine to Egypt. And in Egypt, he almost lost his wife, Sarah. So many, many difficulties Abraham faced. And yet Abraham was chosen by God. Look at Isaac, the sadness of being deceived by Jacob. He loved Esau and wanted to bless Esau with the best blessing. Jacob came in to lie that he was Esau, and Isaac ended up blessing Jacob. Think of how he must have been so sad that even his flesh and blood, his very own son, would come in to deceive him. And then Jacob went through a lot of hardship later on in his life, was deceived by Laban into marrying both Leah and Rachel, worked 14 years for Laban in order to marry both the dog. In fact, he didn't want to marry Leah, he wanted to Rachel. He was tricked by Laban. And then he went through so much hardship working 14 years for Laban. And then Jacob had to contend with four wives fighting for Jacob's attention. And lastly, the sorrow of losing Joseph. So you look at the patriarchs, they went through a lot of trouble. In fact, some of the trouble is beyond our imagination. And of course, Joseph also went through much more, just as much, if not more trouble than his predecessors. So I would like to say that these are all God-planned and executed difficulties for the lives of the patriarchs. And why did God place difficulties in their lives? The many difficulties in the lives of patriarchs were to compel them to have faith in God, to overcome their circumstances. If their lives were plain sailing and without difficulties, there is no need to have faith in God. So if you look at this picture, you have a person in trouble, facing difficulties, and he's calling out to God for help. God answers. Yeah. So trouble and difficulties in our lives compel us to turn to God. And even in this pandemic, we turn to God to help us, to protect us from pandemic, that we will not succumb to the disease. So that is the reason, that is one of the reasons why believers have trouble in our lives. Yeah, that we will turn to God in faith, and God will answer us. And so it was for all of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. They all faced troubles which God put in their lives, and then they turned to God. Despite all the difficulties, the patriarchs never left their faith in God. God blessed them. So it is for similar reasons that God set us many tests. In our lives, we have many tests. We have trouble in our workplace that is set by God. How do we overcome the trouble? We turn to God for help. We have to leave the workplace. We turn to God for help for a second workplace. We have trouble with colleagues. We turn to God for help. We have trouble with our bosses. What to do? They are above us and controlling us, and they make life difficult for us. What do? We turn to God. So whatever test is placed before us, we must exercise our faith in God. That is the reason why God put these tests in our life, that we will exercise faith in Him and trust in Him, that whatever comes is by the will of God, so that we can have, so that our faith in Him will grow. So do not be overly concerned about circumstances in life. Be a Joseph. Be concerned that you have done wrong and offended God, just as what Joseph said. How can I do this wickedness, this great wickedness and sin against God? Yeah? Be more concerned that you have, you may sin against God. Many of us worry that we will get into trouble for our misdeeds. We worry that we did this and authorities will find out and catch us and charge us for the misdeed, and we will be liable for fine or even jail. Or our employer will find that we are not working, work from home, and many of our work go undone, not finished by the deadline, and we tell a lie that, oh, because of some reason that we can't finish, but in reality, we were lazy. And then our boss finds out that we were lying. And so all these fear is all about our boss. Will we get into trouble? Sinning against God is not a big worry for us. We never thought, okay, if we are lazy, we don't get the work done. It is an affront to God. It is not doing what God wants us to do. And it is a bad testimony in front of non-Christians that we are slacking in our work. And God, and they will think ill of our belief, our faith. No, no. That is not a big worry for us. So therein lies the difference between Joseph and us. For Joseph, whatever acts he does, even if he's asked to sleep with Potiphar's wife, he never thought, what if he's found out by Captain Potiphar and sentenced to death? In those days, yeah, punishment is very severe, and he's a slave, so most likely death sentence for his bad action. No, that was not what he thought about. The first thing he said was, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was what was in his mind. So, in the same way, we should take our sins and misdeeds seriously as an affront to God. Like telling lies for our boss. After all, who's to know? That is always in our mind. If nobody knows, then we can do the wrong thing. But it is an affront to God. It brings dishonor to God. It brings adverse consequences to us when God turns away from us. We always want God to be with us. If God is with us, we will have, the problems will be overcome. So we don't want God to turn away from us because of our sin, because of our dishonorable conduct. So I'd like to share this little cut-up news about secretaries lying for their boss. Would you? So we all lie, even if it's only telling a friend that, yes, her new orange kitchen looks great. Okay, I mean, orange kitchen. So a recent Gallup poll found that only 8% of people claim never to have lied, and that even that probably they weren't telling the truth. 25% of the people interviewed admitted they lie daily. So one quarter lie daily, they admit. The problem of today's secretary, according to the 15th annual report, blah, 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 is that they are increasingly expected to lie for other people too, notably the boss. So how? Our survey shows that a staggering 79% of support staff have been asked to invent the truth on behalf of their boss this year. At one end of the scale, these may be white lies such as, I'm afraid Mr. Jones is in a meeting. Yeah, of course, you know, you tell people over the other end of the telephone line. Mr. Jones is at a meeting where Mr. Jones is your boss and he's right in front of you telling you to tell the other party that he's at a meeting. Yeah, so that is quite common today. Right? Yeah, and of course, you can call this a white lie. Doesn't really harm anyone, but God knows. Yeah, God knows. And God puts lying as one of the great sin. So be aware. Of course, I'm not saying that it's so easy to overcome your boss. Just tell him, I refuse to lie for you. It's not easy. We all know our jobs are on the line. If you do not help your boss to lie, so to speak, you may be sacked. So it's not easy. But these are so-called God planned and executed downsides in our life that we have to deal with. How God wants to see, how do you deal with these things that come your way? How do you deal with it? So it's not easy. And we pray that we will not be expected to do such things. God is always very measured in his approach. He does not put us into very difficult situation, in situation that we cannot handle. If these setbacks in life come, troubles in life come, they must be trouble that we are able to handle, because the Bible even tells us so. Yeah, and so let us commit this to God. Let us remember today's lesson that we must be obedient and faithful to God despite all the trouble in our lives. Just as Joseph was obedient and faithful despite his tremendous troubles, let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for today's lesson. We look back at our lives and we find how Thou hast helped us over many troubles, many difficulties. And we praise Thee and bring all glory to Thee. We pray, Lord, that we will not sin against Thee. We will always think of our action, that it is measured according to Thy word, that we should not sin against Thee. And that we should have faith in Thee always. And Thou will deliver us, Lord. Thou will prosper us in our work. Thou will help us. And Thou will bless us if we obey Thee and are faithful to Thee always. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.